What do you feel like doing tonight?
I don't know, Ange. What do you feel like doing?
Oh, what do you feel like doing tonight?
I don't know, Ange. What do you feel like doing?
We're back to that, huh? I say to you, what do you feel like doing tonight? And you say back to me, I don't know, what do you feel like doing tonight? Then we wind up sitting around your house with a couple of cans of beer watching a hit parade on television.
Let's go to movies.
Director!
This is a frightened city.
Wait for it! Director! Cut!
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for a new film talk show, Film Sociology, with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever.
Yes. Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
Hello, film lovers, and welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point, WFYI.org. It's also available as a podcast. Gee, I wonder what film opened this weekend, because you're only allowed to play one Warren Zevon song on the radio, ever.
Well, Warriors, Guns, and What. You can play that one.
That's true, but Warriors, Guns, but you know rock radio doesn't. We would, because we're cool.
Right.
If you have a question or a comment or a Warren Zevon request, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. Of course, my very relaxed producer and Warren Zevon expert, Melissa Davis. Well, compared to me, you are.
Hi.
I'll just be over here. And sitting in with us today. What I love about the show is that I get everybody from people in the community, people in the arts world, listeners, and even coworkers to come and sit in because everybody has an opinion and everybody, most people go to movies. WFYI Special Projects Manager, a.k.a. the party girl, Stacey Studeville, is in studio with us today. Finally.
Finally.
I have to tell you, folks, a little backstory, and I'll make fun of her more about it later, but when Film Sociology came into fruition, Stacey was one of the first people to support the show and said, anytime you want me on, I'll come on your show. And a little over a year later, it's finally happened. So welcome, Stacey.
I have to make myself unavailable so that
you have
filled the drama.
Yes. And now we have you. And
that's
And it's Valentine's Day weekend.
And I may not be that knowledgeable about film, but I do have a few opinions, as you are
no.
well aware.
Yes. Well, that's the perfect place. Remember, we only have an hour. And since today is February 12th, I do have to say happy birthday to my wife, Lynn. Happy
Aww.
Birthday, my love. And so that means more flowers on Sunday. I've been told that, so it's okay.
Ah.
In the shameless plug department, if you don't have any plans tonight at 7 o'clock at the Indianapolis Museum of Art in their Toby Theater, I will be there introducing the Catherine Deneuve French musical, The Umbrellas of Cherbourg. Cherbourg, pardon my French. And next week, I will be back there after this show to introduce the Peter Bogdanovich film, My Guy, The Last Picture Show. So that
my guy.
Well, okay, I interviewed him once. We're tight now.
You guys are best friends now.
No, we're not. We trade ascots and sweaters and talk about Orson Welles. No, but anyway, Peter Bogdanovich's film, The Last Picture Show, is next week. Umbrellas of Cherbourg is tonight. We are not reviewing Valentine's Day.
Oh.
Sorry.
Oh, I gotta go then. Thanks.
The film that makes Love Actually look like, well, a Preston Sturges film,
Isn't,
I guess.
Like every person every, in the film industry
yes,
is in that film.
I think 3/4 of the Screen Actors Guild is on there. Right. They probably shot for like 2 days each. But no, we're not going to talk about that.
Well, didn't you hear, I heard on NPR, they
Thank
were talking
you.
About the story that that if that film is successful, then you can pretty much plan on seeing a major film like that every single holiday from now on eternity.
As I've read in The Onion, they've already mocked up New Year's Day, directed by Gary Marshall, and starring the exact same cast, pretty much doing the exact same roles they are now. So, yes, I've heard that, but I've also read.
Yeah, I think it's like Mad Libs. You just change
the holiday.
Yeah. Yes. They just do like a control F through the whole script.
See, there you go. Yeah, no, but we're not going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about Time Traveler's Wife, which is out on DVD. Sorry.
The book is incredible. I never saw the movie.
But this isn't book sociology.
No, so. I guess not.
No. So instead, because it's February and it's almost Valentine's Day, we have to talk about The Wolfman, the new remake of the Universal classic horror film. This time it's not Lon Chaney Jr. It's Benicio del Toro is the man who's tortured and gets hairy when the moon is full. Anthony Hopkins plays his dad, and Emily Blunt, who got a big paycheck, I hope, gets to play the lady in question. And Hugo Weaving, just one of him in this one, not thousands and thousands of them, plays a gentleman from Scotland Yard who's trying to find out why all these people are getting torn to shreds in this small English village.
She exerts enormous power, doesn't she?
You believe in curses?
Of hell lie before you. Run free. Kill or be killed.
Well, the film is directed by Joe Johnston, who gave us Hidalgo, Jurassic Park 3, October Sky, Jumanji, The Rocketeer. And I think Universal is done, finally, with remaking all of their old horror movies. Well, I mean, I stand corrected. I believe Dracula was done by Columbia, but we had The Mummy, all three of those, and we had Frankenstein with Kenneth Branagh and his feathered hair. I'm hoping Hollow Man counts for the remake of The Invisible Man. I guess the only one that's missing is Creature of the Black Lagoon. So we shall see. It's been a while since I've seen the original Lon Chaney version of The Wolfman. I don't remember The Wolfman having dad issues. Because that's in this one, Anthony Hopkins plays Benicio del Toro's father. I love Gene Pools. And it's all dad's fault, basically, in this one. So...
How 2000 of them? How 2010 of them?
Well, you know what? The last time there was a film with this much father issues, you remember Nick Nolte and Hulk, the Ang Lee version? That's another one of blame dad. So, also Hamlet, I blame. When in doubt, just blame dad.
Well, is it good?
It's okay. Del Toro is, you know, the star of this film. He's also a producer on it, and he has nothing to do. And this is stunning, because this is a guy, of course, who won an Oscar for Traffic, and just
he's
about
still
any,
my heart. I love him.
Just about.
He'll get the hot stamp of approval.
Yes.
For him.
Shall I leave while you two talk about this?
Ladies love him.
I understand that,
because he's not pretty boy, but he's still attractive.
Yes,
and he's got kind of that
rugged,
bad boy kind of thing.
And he can play. Even though the last name is Del Toro, he can play a gamut of character roles from different parts. Yeah, the character.
Yeah, I loved him in Fear and Loathing. I still think that was like one of his best. I just loved it as the lawyer, and he was not hot as the lawyer.
No, he's got a gut like mine. I should play the lawyer, but so no, that's fine. Funny. As a guy, I could see that. I respect that, but he doesn't have much to do in this. He looks tortured and a little bored at times. So Emily Blunt, who I think, you know, got a big paycheck for this so she could do the young Victoria. She's the girl, capital T, capital G.
Mm-hmm.
Not much for her to do in this. Hugo Weaving and Anthony Hopkins do. They get to chew a little bit of scenery, especially Hopkins, because, well, let's not forget he was Van Helsing in Dracula. And by the way, this film is better than Van Helsing. better than, you know, if you had a movie with Hugh Jackman and Kate Beckinsale, I would make something different. It wouldn't have been that. So, and it was interesting is that Rick Baker, who did the makeup and got an Oscar for An American Werewolf in London, does the makeup for this one. And I understand one of the reasons why they probably remake films is that they have the technology and people don't like watching old movies and they were able to improve upon this. Yeah, the transformation stuff is still is decent, but not nearly as jarring. And I'm quoting An American Werewolf in London, a film from 1980, which had more thrills, and the transformation scene in that is far more jarring than it is here. I was curious. There's the, probably the highlight scene for me is when Del Toro's character is in a sanitarium and it's a full moon. And by the way, when is a full moon? Do you remember? I don't know if it's in the horror movie handbook, but for me, it was always, you know, once the full moon is out, you go automatically. There are random times in which the full moon is out for quite a while before transformation kicks in.
Well, isn't that what happens in Teen Wolf?
You're quoting Teen Wolf on my show?
It's all
I mean, werewolves.
And then, yeah, and then Del Toro shoots baskets and wins something for the home team and surfs a truck.
Surfs, does a handstand on a truck while moving.
I see. This is, oh gosh.
You know, it's
well, I have a sub host if I'm not making it now. You two will have fun.
It's not the first time Benicio Del Toro has been a wolf man in a movie.
And that
Big Top Pee Wee.
Look at that.
Look at this. See?
True.
No, yeah. You're correct. Yeah, you're correct. See, my...
That was, I think, his first movie role.
You do a double check, but I thought his first one was he was the main villain's henchman in the James Bond film, The Living Daylights.
I didn't see that.
Which was, he was Robert Davies' one. That was, I think, the second Timothy Dalton Bond film. So, yes, he's been around. And, of course, The Usual Suspects. Love him in The Usual Suspects, which we can't say his best line. We could, but like him, but you don't really want to. Anyway, but the best scene is him escaping the sanitarium, and it felt like a really good climax for a film, except there's another 30 minutes to go. And I wasn't scared. I didn't even jump at the little fake scares that horror films are supposed to have today, damn kids. so, no, I was disappointed by this. And I went with low expectations. I kept saying, so long as it's better than Van Helsing, I'm okay with this. And it is. And by the way, I've been saying, without giving too much away, that there's, you know, dad issues in this film. There's a climactic fight scene that's just silly.
Oh.
Yeah. So
save my money on that one.
I think save your money on this. Rent it if you must, especially if you're, you know, members of the Indianapolis chapter of the Benicio Del Toro fan club, as two of the people in this room are, obviously. So you can go rent that. Do we have a timeline?
His first movie was Big Top Pee Wee.
Wow, check out the big brain on Melissa.
Yeah, well, I watch a lot of important movies. And
that's why you are an intricate part of this show. Yes. Thank you. Well,
the next one was License to Kill.
Ah, he was the youngest, kill, not the Living Daylights.
The youngest man to play a Bond villain. He was 21.
Thank you, Melissapedia.
That's what I'm looking at. Yeah, she's going through her brain and getting these random
She
facts.
Does. Oh, no, she does. It's quite fascinating. Yeah. So it's, you know, and then the hamster catches the cheese. No, but no, thank you for that. See, this is the hard-hitting information you get here on Film Sociology. Teen Wolf and Big Top Pee Wee.
It's a good movie.
Big Top Pee Wee?
A cat eats off a plate. It's a good movie.
Okay, yes, I'm not arguing that.
He feeds all the farm animals breakfast, including chocolate milk from a chocolate cow. It's a good movie.
And he smooches Penelope Ann Miller.
Yeah, and that's pretty gross. But...
Wait, did I hear that there are Pee Wee's coming back somehow? Is it stage?
He's doing
or...
a stage show right now, but I think there will soon
I would be...
be
surprised one bit.
Yeah,
no,
there's going to be
no.
an all-out Pee Wee assault, I think.
So to speak.
Good Lord.
I can't wait.
No, that's going to be fun. I actually remember on HBO, his old live show in L.A. with Phil Hartman.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that's not on disc.
It's not.
We got to work on that. Let's add that to the must be on DVD / Blu-ray list.
I have that on VHS. It's not on DVD.
See? Wow. So
things to be done.
Okay. Well, we'll take I should mention also tonight, besides Umbrellas with Cherbourg, if you head down to downtown Franklin – at the Art Craft Theater tonight at 7:30 this evening, Casablanca.
Good
film to see, especially for this weekend. And I guess we should also mention Yeah, Percy Jackson and the Olympians, which sounds like a band that's playing at the Madam Walker Theater.
It
but,
totally does.
I Love Percy Sledge is also opening today with Pierce Brosnan and some others. And, yeah, Valentine's Day with half the Screen Actors Guild. All right, we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to talk about what's new on DVD and more with Stacey Studeville and Melissa Davis and more obscure films from the 80s or semi-obscure films from the 80s. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't give my reaction.
No, you, well, I...
No, I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. I just
so I guess I was saying, you just to recap, see it if you must, if you have the Benicio Del Toro fan card, or go rent it if you must. But this is overall what I thought of that.
Otto, don't flatter yourself. It wasn't that great.
Okay. Now, this time for sure, we'll take a short break and we'll talk about what's new on DVD and some old titles on Blu-ray. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Naptown is nowhere near as sleepy as it sounds.
I say fooey to those who say there's nothing to do in Indianapolis. And we bring it to you on the IndianapolisMusic.net podcast every week. It's a feature of our top 10 shows as voted on by music journalists across the city and our On Track artist, featuring a local recording each and every week right here on the IndianapolisMusic.net podcast and WFYI HD2 Thursdays at 4 p.m.
Are either one of these any good? Sir?
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs.
You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store.
And the video store is open. And welcome back to Film Sociology. I'm your host, Matthew Sosi, here at the Film Talk Show, here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msosey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. Stacey Studeville sitting in with us. Melissa Davis working the board, of course. Tonight, 7 o'clock at the Toby Theater at the IMA. I'll be there introducing the Catherine Deneuve musical, The Umbrellas of Cherbourg. And as we played every week, the DVD intro is, of course, clips from Clerks. And I was at the Wolfman screening this morning, and one of the trailers is Kevin Smith's next film, Cop Out.
Which was going to be called something else that I can't say on the air.
Really? Can you tell us what it rhymes with?
A couple of... A word that starts with a D.
Oh, is another word for detectives?
Sure.
Private. Wow, like really?
That's what it was supposed to be called, but it ended up being
way.
Called...
What oh,
wait, so Cop Out, is that the one with Tracy Morgan?
And Bruce Willis. And
is that a Kevin Smith movie?
That is a Kevin Smith movie. However, I'll have to, you know, we'll have to go, if you could check in a second, Melissa. Mm-hmm. I don't think he wrote this one.
Okay, he just directed?
I think so. Oh, by the way, here at Film Sociology, we say Zach and Mary Make a Porno. We say the full title, not the... Half title.
What is the half title?
Zach and Mary.
Oh,
certain stores,
that's so silly.
Certain chain stores would only carry the movie
Lord.
When it had that. Oh, yeah.
I have to say, I'm sorry,
please
I keep
do.
Talking about books.
No, it's
There's a- this Irvine Welsh book called Porno, and it is the
yes.
funniest book. And it's about this group of friends who decide that, you know, this is a lucrative
make-
way to make some money. And oh, who wrote it? It's the same. It's Irvine Welsh. He wrote Trainspotting.
Ah.
Same characters. And my husband and I have both read this book. And I read it like riding on the bus, and people would give me funny looks because I'm holding this book. It just says porno on the cover. But but anyhow, we always thought it would be the best movie. And then they go and make Zach and Miri, and it's like, oh, this is
not. Well, I mean, that's still a book that you could put on hold.
Oh.
I mean, I'm sure there's a script somewhere, especially
yeah.
done by. And I bet if you talk Danny Boyle in it, you never know.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
Any update over there?
He did not write this movie, but he did direct. And this is the first movie that he's directed, but not written.
Written.
So yeah.
We'll see. We will
yeah.
see.
He's pretty excited about it. As I said, he's on Twitter. We were talking about that during
yes.
the break. And he tweets about how excited he is about this movie, among many other things, including how much he loves his wife. And he talks... about how much he loves his wife.
Like worse than sounds like worse than me.
He gets into detail about
I can't.
It's kind of heartwarming and disgusting at the same time. It's kind of like
you rang. Hello.
Beyond.
You know what? I found. Maybe I should try to watch this by next week. But I forgot that there was a third DVD of An Evening with Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
So,
well, he does podcasts too. I mean, and those are just free and available. He's very accessible, I would say.
Gotta work on that.
Yeah. Go for it.
Okay, we'll give him 37 reasons.
I want to talk to him about Degrassi. He loves Degrassi.
I know. I have that on DVD.
He's a huge Degrassi
which I love. I've always heard about it, and then the only episodes I've watched are the ones that he were involved in. I'm like, this isn't bad. Well, drama, and that's the second generation
show.
Yeah,
he liked the first Degrassi, which was on PBS when I was about, 12, 10, 10.
And I was
you were
too
like 20.
Old. I was not like 20. I was 20.
But he was a big Degrassi fan, and I guess he loved the girl Caitlin and tried to get her in some of his movies. And one of his characters is named Caitlin from Clerks,
right.
After the Degrassi character.
See, that's lucky because I tried telling girls I was making movies, and they wouldn't be in my movies. Either, so not even my wife. Okay, let's move on. New on DVD this week, and now we are reaching a point where some of the Oscar nominated films are coming out on disc, and one of the 10 best picture nominees is up for best picture is on DVD. It also got a screenplay nomination, well deserved. The new Coen Brothers dark comic film, A Serious Man, with a star-making vehicle for Michael Stuhlbarg, New York actor, who plays a college professor in the 1960s whose life and his career are just falling apart.
Please, I need help. I've had marital problems.
Honey, I think it's time that we start talking about a divorce.
Larry, we're gonna be fine.
Professional, you name it.
Larry, we've received a number of letters denigrating you and urging us not to grant you tenure.
I need help.
We're gonna be fine.
I've tried to be a serious man.
We're gonna be fine.
I've tried to do right, be a member of the community.
We're gonna be fine.
Please, just tell him I need help. Please.
We're gonna be fine.
I need help.
We're gonna be fine.
The rabbi is busy.
He didn't look busy.
He's thinking.
Don't you want somebody to love? Don't you need somebody to love?
Okay, I've been making fun of the fact that there's 10 films up for Best Picture, and you know, we asked last week, you know, seriously, what are the five? And many people say that if you look at the Best Director category, that's really the best five films. I'm one of those people. You look at the screenplays, you'll find your top five. So I was really happy to see that this is probably the most obscure of the titles to get Best Picture. You could have an argument for maybe District 9 or An Education, but I think Serious Man was probably definitely the least seen of the 10. And it got an original screenplay adaptation. You have a film with no stars. Your biggest name is Richard Kind. There's nothing wrong with that. And you have a subject matter about a film that does have an aspect of the Jewish suburban life in the 1960s. And many people think this is the Coen brothers' most personal, maybe most autobiographical. I kind of doubt that. I think the Coens are smart enough to not open up a vein on film.
Right.
But maybe in a world that they grew up with, not in a world like the trailer guy. But it's a dark comedy compared to some of the other films. I think it's considerably darker than their last film, Burn After Reading, and that's saying something. Stuhlbarg is strong. Richard Kind is really good. Everybody in it is really good. It's got an ending that's going to throw people, and that's really okay. I don't mind that at all. There's a fable at the beginning, an old Yiddish fable at the beginning of the film that if you pay attention, you'll notice it comes round full circle. The film has some, One of the things I haven't seen in a while from the Coen brothers, if you remember films like Barton Fink and Raising Arizona, there are just images, just silent images that are incredibly funny. And so I'm glad that A Serious Man is finally on DVD and Blu-ray, and hopefully, and Stacey, I noticed you marked it on your
little need to see
thing,
it.
So
yes.
You have to go rent this.
Yes, absolutely.
So as far as where does it lie in the Coen brothers canon, I'm one of those I didn't think they've ever made a bad film. Yeah, it includes Intolerable Cruelty and Lady Killers. I like them too. Good, not great. But this is probably middle of the road, but middle of the road Coen brothers is still heads and tails above most of the stuff that's out there. So go rent or go buy A Serious Man.
Yes, 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 yes!
Now, I said we weren't going to review Valentine's Day and the Time Traveler's Wife, but for some reason I wound up renting Couples Retreat.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out that.
Why I rented it or why they made it.
Both?
Yeah, let's see. Here's the thing. Vince Vaughn and Jon Favreau reminding people that they did, you know, Swingers 15 years ago. And who else we got? Jason Bateman, Faison Love, Kristen Bell, Kristen Davis, Kaylee Hawke, Malin Ackerman, Jean Reno. Yes. I think the trailer sums it up because it's exposition theater. Give it a listen.
Are you telling me that after 7 years together, you still get aroused by the same woman?
I do.
How often do you do it?
Oh, it's different now because we got the kids.
I peed. Early in
the morning, clouds are coming on. How was your day?
Usual.
I want to speak to a manager. I'd like to complain about how hot the waitresses are here.
Yours?
Good. Trainer really blasted my glutes.
You are not buying some 20-year-old broad a motorcycle.
This girl makes me feel young again.
Bang, bang.
She's a kid. Buy her a Hello Kitty book.
Jason and I are seriously considering getting a divorce.
And that is why we are going to go here.
It's Disneyland for adults.
You guys are going to have a blast.
Actually, we have found a great group right here.
This looks like a screensaver.
They got fish that you can see through the floor.
Welcome to Eden, your itinerary.
Couple skill building at 6 a.m.?
I think there's a misunderstanding here. We signed up for the fun stuff.
You either partake of the entire package or have none of it.
So we gotta give a little bit of our day up to talk about feelings. How bad can it be?
My husband got caught in this shark situation.
It's time to get the gun and shoot some fish!
I had shark teeth penetrate my skin.
That's it?
Maybe they're marking me for later. I don't know.
Remove your mask.
You must stay our clothes on.
I don't have any drawers.
Undress!
Is his junk out?
Yeah.
Now it's a party.
Thanks a lot for bringing me here to Problem Island.
Would you prefer a male or female, sir?
What would you recommend more for, like, a nurturing, pampering, motherly energy? Yep, a man or a woman?
So, Joey, do you have any problem areas?
I hold a lot of tension in my upper thighs.
Jason pulled a gun on our therapist.
I'm gonna shoot you in the head.
And force him to say whether or not we were gonna make it.
What would you say?
Put that in. I'll holster this.
Let go! Give in! Give up! Surrender!
Who is that?
That's the yoga guy.
Damn!
Allow me to put on something more proper. Thank God.
Now, who is ready for their yoga?
This just gets better and better.
See, as I gently go deeper and deeper into a stretch.
Fabio, that's enough with the pulsating. Give
up! Couples Retreat.
This is a great way to stretch.
Keep your chin up.
Yeah. Oh, no, I think I got it now.
And just of note, this film was directed by, was actor, now then producer, now director, Peter Billingsley. So, yes, Ralphie directed a movie.
Ralphie.
Yes. So
Ralphie.
When he's not doing the occasional cameo in Four Christmases or something along those lines.
I'm glad he's working.
He is
and
working.
Legitimately working. Well, you know what the other guy from Christmas Story is doing?
I can't answer that.
Not so legitimate movies.
No. So yeah. Insert favorite Frozen poll comment
sure.
here.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Well, I didn't do there. It. So anyway, he's a smart thing. He went into producing. All right. This is obviously a project that I'm sure everybody in the cast had a lot of fun doing, and they got to go to, was it French Indonesia to make this? It's on a gorgeous resort. So they had fun. I don't think the rest of us had as much fun, and it just felt like, you know what, it was like an all-star game. You don't really put a whole lot of effort into it.
Like the Pro Bowl this year?
No, like the Pro Bowl every year.
Every year.
Pro Bowl All-Star game, yes. NBA All-Star game. You show up, yes. You have fun.
Ocean's 13.
Actually,
like,
I prefer 12 or 13 over this.
Yeah.
But it is of that thing of, oh, we can coast because we are who we are. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Fat people in Speedos or less and yoga. You have to make fun of yoga and you have to make fun of Jean Reno in a Speedo, even though he's a very good French character actor and I like him. But I think this would be described, as my producer would call, boy movie.
Oh, this is a boy movie?
I think this – well, really? I think – all right. Men who still act like boys.
I don't know. I see this as a – I don't know. I've never seen it, so I can't speak.
Yes, I know, but it's – all right. Like, so maybe not 15-year-old boys are into Vince Vaughn films, but I bet those who think like 15-year-olds are still into Vince Vaughn films. Those who think Vince Vaughn is cool. Notice how many hands didn't shoot up. So everybody in this film has done better. I hope they had nice tans. I hope they had a good time. Hope the outtakes and the gag reel and the DVD are a laugh riot. Enjoy yourselves, because I didn't. There you go.
No! No, 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 no! No! No, 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 no! No!
Now, as if one horror film remake wasn't enough this week, because The Wolfman opened this week, a film that was, I think, kind of underappreciated when it first came out in the late 80s, is now being remade as a PG horror film. Now, I try not to say, even though I'm about to, that PG horror films are like sugar-free ice cream. What's the point? Mm-hmm. But if it's scary enough, it doesn't matter what the rating is. But it's a remake of the horror film The Stepfather. It stars Dylan Walsh, Cela Ward, and Penn Bradley.
Badgley. Yeah, from Gossip Girl. Yeah,
I have never seen that show, even though Blake Lively is in it. And Amber Heard.
I know,
Heard
she's beautiful. I love her.
I know, she's kind of... I have no comment. Let's play the trailer.
Still can't believe my mom didn't come to the airport.
She has some things to do.
You met this guy?
He seems cool.
Seems like she's rushing into things.
At least you have me. Gonna tell you when. I got something to show you. Oh, I'm so happy to have you home. Michael, this is David.
Good to finally meet you.
Your return makes us complete. Family is the most important thing.
Give it a chance. Or you go and do something stupid.
Like what?
Getting sent back to military school.
We're going to put this family back together. You and me, father and son. Stepfather. Stepfather. What do you guys think of him? Do you like him?
He's nice. Yeah, he takes you to the movies and stuff.
Watch it. Your mom says you don't want to see me.
Dad, you know, I'm not the one who left.
You're just a little freaked out that your mom's marrying a stranger. On TV, I saw this woman who drove off a bridge with her three kids.
Maybe they disappointed her.
Mrs. Cutter, how are you? Did you happen to see America's Most Wanted last night?
What did she want?
She had seen the story about this killer. The police sketches look just like you.
Great, this will make me a hit with the neighbors.
You got a minute, kind of looks like him.
It could be anybody. Didn't you close your door?
People might get the wrong idea about her.
What do you suppose people think about you moving in with my mother?
What's going on?
The old woman across the street, she fell down her stairs and broke her neck.
John, turn that down now!
Mother said turn it down.
Have a great day.
Did you ever lay a hand on one of my kids again?
I was just trying to show him a little discipline.
What do you even know about this guy, huh? He's hiding something.
It doesn't mean he's a killer. What are you doing?
I'm gonna find out what's in those storage cabinets.
I thought I could make this work.
But you can't! I thought you could be Mrs. Grady Edwards!
What are you doing, Kelly?
What did you say?
No. Who am I here?
Okay, the reason why the original Stepfather, which I believe 1987, was so good, because there was a satire about Reagan America at that time, and that's what the title character stood for. Well, it's not 1987 anymore, so what we have is basically crazy guy just trying to kill his family. And that's Dylan Walsh.
Sounds great.
Yeah, I know. And Cela Ward, I'm showing my age. I'm trying to remember the last series Cela Ward was on. I think Now
was
and
it
Again.
Sisters?
No. She did Now and Again, which was after that. But
okay.
I want to say it was like the 90s, mid-90s. So I was like,
she played House's wife on House.
Oh, that's true. So now I'm like,
just an arc.
I have to accept the fact that Celia Ward is now old enough to have teenage children in the movies. So, but yeah, no cliches left unturned in this film, and all the scary stuff is shown in the trailer as well. So, and your guy, is this your guy? Penn is your guy?
Oh, I just know his name. I've seen Gossip Girl once or twice.
Which is once or twice more than yours truly. So that's really okay. I love getting corrected by my guest. I guess this is made for people who like horror movies, and I have very low standards. So overall, this is what we think of The Stepfather.
No!
Now, I want to mention a few other things that came out on DVD, and I forgot to talk about the Blu-ray list last week because it was actually one of the best weeks for Blu-ray releases, and I have to finally confess, I bought a Blu-ray player last week.
That's what I heard.
Yeah,
that's all the talk of the town.
This show, of course, is the last to know.
Is it Blu-ray attached to a PlayStation 3 or just a Blu-ray?
Just a Blu-ray.
Okay. How much does that run? How much do those run these days?
I'm not going to talk on the air.
I mean, you don't have to tell me how much you spend.
I'll just say it's a good idea to buy electronics when it's the week of the Super Bowl.
Ah, yes.
So
yes.
Yeah. So that combined with another present, which I won't talk about, the screening room will be improved.
Nice.
So anyway, also on DVD this week, the BBC Warner 2009 version of Jane Austen's Emma, because Emma wanted me to mention it because any movie with her title in it. Nobody asked for this. I didn't ask for this, but there is a remake of the 1978 weepy drama Ice Castles.
Oh my gosh.
About the blind skater. And
really?
Not the blind side. Nobody asked for that. Nobody asked for, the Running Man to come out on Blu-ray, the Arnold Schwarzenegger game show action movie. Any film that has Richard Dawson as a villain. 1987. All right. Also on DVD, on Blu-ray this week, finally, Bonnie and Clyde.
Ooh.
Yeah, you got to watch that.
I have good memories of that movie when I was waiting for...
Godot.
We always left waiting for Godot. Yes, we always left for vacation at 11 p.m. at night on a Friday for some reason. It was in the summer, so I was at home.
And Bonnie and Clyde was on.
Oh, yeah,
really?
Yeah, I watched Bonnie and Clyde. I was probably like 10 or 11.
You're okay. See, yeah, Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway and Gene Hackman.
Oh, yeah,
hell of a shootout.
I think I cried at the end, probably.
Well, I think that's what they're trying to do. Casablanca. Yeah, it's all right. Casablanca's on Blu-ray. It's also at the Artcraft Theater in Franklin tonight. Speaking of which, finally on Blu-ray, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
So
you can see and hear Del Toro in his gelatinous state.
That movie gives me a contact high.
You know what? I've learned to appreciate it a little bit more, and I like the fact that Terry Gilliam did it. I still think they should have made it 20 years ago.
I think that
doing that
is...
film in the 90s seemed a tad dated.
No way. It was should have been good.
No, yeah, I know, but this was a novel written in 1971 and it should have been, I know they really tried to make it in the just say no mid 80s, which would have really turned some heads.
So do you think it would have been as acclaimed as it was if it was in the 80s?
And it depends on the filmmaker.
Stay away from the drugs.
Do you remember
right
how'd that go again? And do you remember who the original director was supposed to be?
No, I don't.
Alex Cox.
I don't know.
Man who gave us Sid and Nancy.
Oh.
I just don't think you can beat Johnny Depp, though. That's the thing.
So good.
Made that movie.
It's so visually.
I think Terry Gilliam had a lot to do with that.
Well, yes.
So.
They all were great.
Yeah.
Also on Blu-ray, fantastic. Gangs of New York. And if you're a fan, of There Will Be Blood, you should really revisit Gangs of New York once again. And both, well, because I don't acknowledge the third one for the most part, The Godfather. On Blu-ray. Also, The Music Man, the original, with Robert Preston and Shirley Jones and Buddy Hackett. Mystic River, a fun film to watch when your daughter is two. I don't recommend that. And Turner Classic Movies' Greatest Classic Films Collection, The Marx Brothers, which is the Emma Sosi stamp of approval. Day of the Races,
cool.
Night in Casablanca, Room Service, and At the Circus. And Walk the Line is on Blu-ray, so you can see Reese and Joaquin. And by the way, he's not acting anymore until he makes a new film.
I think he's back.
No.
They have a picture of him clean shaven.
Oh,
really?
Have they
released that documentary that everybody knows his stage performance on Letterman?
I think it will probably be a soon-to-be-released thing. But he's clean shaven now.
Of course.
He looks normal.
Thanks a lot.
All right, let's have the big, you know, lumberjack beard.
I know. I'm just a rabbi. All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to talk with Stacey about the Oscars and pregnant movies. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
Naptown is nowhere near as sleepy as it sounds.
I say fooey to those who say there's nothing to do in Indianapolis, and we bring it to you on the IndianapolisMusic.net podcast every week. It's a feature of our top 10 shows, as voted on by music journalists across the city, and our on-track artist, featuring a local recording each and every week right here on the IndianapolisMusic.net podcast and WFYI HD2 Thursdays at 4 p.m.
Oh, Roger! We're not alone!
We got yes!
You got what?
Guests! Guests!
Guests?
Yeah, guests. People! We've got guests coming over.
When?
Now.
Who are you?
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like, your opinion, man.
Opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one.
Speaking of which, welcome, Stacey. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. Don't forget, at 7 o'clock, unless you're listening to the podcast and you're screwed, but at 7 o'clock tonight at the IMA, at the Toby, I will be introducing the 1964 musical The Umbrellas of Cherbourg. Pardon my French, literally. So, and next week I will be at the Toby at the IMA introducing Peter Bogdanovich's The Last Picture Show. But Melissa Davis is working the board. We have Stacey Studeville, Special Projects Manager from WFYI, in with me finally. Here, as I said at the beginning of the show, Stacey was one of the first people when film sociology came into the air. She was a big supporter of the show, and she said, anytime you want me to come on, I'll come on. And then I'd ask her, and she's busy. And then I ask her, and then she's pregnant.
Well,
and then she's pregnant and busy. And then
I
the
took like every Friday off.
And then you took Fridays off. And then I had you on once, and I put you on Facebook, and then you putzed out.
I know.
And, you know, I'm like,
I know.
Peter Bogdanovich and F. Murray Abraham were easier to get on than you. They have Oscars and awards and things.
Well,
so
it was only after you had those two guests that where I thought, okay, well, this is a quality program that I can lend my time to.
So better late than never. Thank you, Stacey, for coming on the show. It looks like you've recovered from Wine Fest.
Yes, yes. Well, I didn't have any wine, so it was pretty easy recovery this year.
That's true. We have to work on Sparkling Grape Juice Fest.
It doesn't sound like as much fun, does it?
I'm not going to say, because it's not really my business. when do you do?
I'm having a baby. It's my first baby, and I'm due on April 23rd. So,
all right, we'll book her for the 16th.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yes.
It'll be a nice, tense show.
Yeah, you can book before the 23rd. That's the Friday. Maybe I'll just do your show and then be done.
And it'll induce?
Yeah.
That's right. My show will induce labor.
Yeah,
that's what I'm striving for. No, congratulations.
Yeah. Well, thanks. It's exciting and really terrifying. But it'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
Yeah.
So before we get into fun, what is going on in your neck of the woods at the station? I know what happens now after Winefest. What's the next big
thing? Well, after Winefest, so I plan our three big events that we have. So Let's Meet PBS Kids in the Park. I want to mention is June 12th, and we have a new location this year.
Ooh.
It's at Military Park, which is going to be really great. With a ton of parking around the park. There are so many different museums down there. The zoo is right there. I think there's a baseball game the night before. So it's going to be a really great move for us. A lot of parking. And it's a free family festival. And we have three stages of kids entertainment, over 40 tents with kids activities. And most importantly, big meet and greets with PBS Kids characters.
It's huge.
Everybody from Curious George, Sesame Street characters, Clifford. It's a great day. It's a lot of fun. And the cool thing is it's free. So now that I'm going to be a parent, I think I can appreciate this a little bit more. If your kid starts screaming and crying, you can just come for 10 minutes and leave, and you're out no money. So.
And usually there's and of course you'll see some local TV and radio folk, and maybe a national, possibly
national acts. We're still trying to figure out.
Don't want to jinx it.
No, we're still trying to figure out the music acts, but we definitely encourage and love local acts to come and perform on our stages. And a really neat thing that we do is we have a lot of kids groups come and perform. So the Russian Ballet Academy we've had, and it's a really fun event. It's a fun day. I'm not going to be there this year. Maybe I'll bring
you have a legitimate excuse.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Because I remember working last year's and it was hot. So you gotta relax.
Oh, that's another benefit of Military Park. There are trees. So
I did okay. I had a tree under my space. So
yes, yes. Matt was the host of our esteemed PB&J Cafe this year. So
I'm sure I'll be back. We'll see.
Yes, and you have Barn Rats. You guys were there. So
yes, that's also coming up.
That was good.
MyFreakPlayers.org.
He doesn't like actually have Barn Rats. These are not pets.
It's the children's theater camp, which I'll plug when it gets a little close. Yeah. When we're out of the winter. One thing I want to talk to you about, because we have several things I want to get to, but I remember you telling you about the film Away We Go.
Yes.
And I was so happy that a pregnant woman finally got to see this film.
Oh, my gosh. I think it was so much more meaningful. I mean, it's a great movie. Maya Rudolph, who actually we're naming our baby Maya.
Because of the film, or you
know
the plan?
No, we picked the name independently. But I thought it was so funny and poignant and heartwarming, and it really meant a lot. So when we saw it, we both really liked it. Although that was when, like, it was pregnancy as, like, a... You know, it was like we're having a baby as a concept. It hadn't become real.
I'm sorry.
I
remember those days.
Yeah. So now it's like really real. So, I think we should put it on our Netflix again.
I think you should.
Yeah.
That'd be good. And I still think Maya Rudolph kind of got a little bit robbed at the nominations.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I guess the next snarky question is, well, who do you take out of that five and replace with? And I think a lot of people were. Some would say Sandra Bullock, even though it's looking like she's got a really good chance.
I know, it's her year. And I'm okay with Sandra Bullock. She's very likable. And The Blind Side was fine.
Okay.
That's how I felt about it.
And screenplay. I thought I should have got it in screenplay. You would take out Inglourious Basterds. And I have to admit, we have not seen The Messenger yet. That has not been screened for Indianapolis.
Which one is The Messenger?
That's the one with Woody Harrelson where he's a soldier that goes goes to families. So that,
oh, I thought that was a Kevin Bacon movie the whole time.
No.
Chasing, what was that? Or Bringing Chase?
Oh, being Chase, I think.
Bringing, do you know what I'm talking about? Where he brought the soldier home? Chase, I think.
I believe it is, but no, that's not it.
Okay.
I know that has not come, and I think next week is when The Last Station opens with Christopher Plummer and Helen Mirren.
Mm, but, I love Helen Mirren.
Yes. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit more next week. So are you one of those folks, now that the nominations are out, you got to start playing catch up?
Uh-huh.
Not ketchup, that's a condiment. What have you caught up with recently?
Well, I actually have not been doing a very good job of seeing movies. I have
We
seen,
had Wine Fest, for crying out loud.
I know. I mean, this is really sad. I haven't even seen Up yet.
It's on
so
DVD.
We're going to get that on DVD and A Serious Man on DVD. I have seen Precious. I loved Inglourious Basterds. In fact, we've rented it since we saw it in the
really?
Theater. Oh, yeah.
Loved
it? Great.
Wow. Okay.
I love Quentin Tarantino.
I did too, but I was. Didn't love it as much as you.
I really liked it. I thought it was a lot of fun.
So the fact that there's maybe 30 minutes of Brad Pitt and his cronies didn't bother you at all?
No, I didn't care. Actually, I wonder if Quentin Tarantino actually wanted to make two movies like he did with Kill Bill, because it felt like there was this whole part with the bastards that could have been made into more
like
of
a dirty,
movie.
Like, you know, the Dirty Dozen or the original Inglourious Basterds, which... was done in the 70s.
Yeah, and I thought it was so interesting that previews for that movie
is all them.
Relied on Brad Pitt and the Bastards, and it's like this whole entire movie exists that you didn't even see in the previews, and I thought it was
well,
great.
Well, and I think that's what turned a lot of people off, is because they expected a two and a half hour Brad Pitt soldier movie, and it wasn't.
Right.
Far from it. I don't know where you are, but I am still pushing with Christoph Waltz.
I love him
actor.
In every...
So that's opening scene. If you haven't seen Inglourious Basterds, go
yes.
rent it. But a lot of people are saying the first scene in that film is the best.
Oh, yeah.
Because it is an incredibly tense film, and probably the most charming Nazi since Ralph Fiennes and Schindler's List. That's the list I don't compile, folks. I'm just saying.
Absolutely. Well, and I have loved his speeches, so I cannot wait until he wins the Oscar, because I think
true.
He will.
You go to YouTube and check out some of those.
Yeah. He puts together these extravagant speeches with analogies and ties the whole speech back together. It's very endearing. I really think he is.
Let's see, what else is on DVD that you would... Hurt Locker, of course, is on
DVD. Oh, I saw that. I saw that in the theater. I really liked it. I really like District 9. The Blind Side did not make me sick. Like, I'm not a big...
You didn't have to feed it to a diabetic. It was so sweet.
Yeah, well, I felt like the previews for The Blind Side, it was so just contrived to make you cry. It felt really...
You don't like being told to cry. You don't.
Yeah, I don't. I don't like to be told how to feel about movies. So The Blind Side, I was not excited about seeing it, but I did. I went with a coworker, Tiffany.
Hello, Rive. Tiffany.
So she and I went to see it, and I was like, wow, that did not stink.
Didn't. Yes, another quotes that won't make the ad campaign. It's quite all right.
Yeah. I thought Sandra Bullock was really good in it, actually. I just did not appreciate how they made Michael Orr to be a functioning, you know, idiot.
Yeah,
much.
Especially since the guy's playing in the NFL and is being peppered with questions about, were you really that dumb?
Yeah, I would be kind of offended if I was, like, played as this, like, football player Forrest Gump, because that's how it kind of seemed, honestly. Yeah. But I saw Precious, and I thought it was...
And how is that, as a mother-to-be, how you doing with that one?
With Precious? I can't remember it. Like, I think I blocked a lot of it, but I thought Monique was fantastic.
She's terrifying.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, I would say, I mentioned earlier with Mr. Quiver, when Emma was two, within a span of like about 1 or 2 weeks, I sat through Mystic River.
Oh Lord!
And 13.
Oh my God! I forgot about 13. Yeah,
Don't watch it. Uh-uh. Don't watch it for a while.
Mm-mm.
I remember it was walking out of 13. I had to. It was downtown, and it was just the press screen. It was just us film critics, and I had to run to my car so nobody could see me. Ball.
Oh.
And I had to go pick up Emma. I had to meet Lynn at U of I to pick up Emma so she could teach. And it was the, you know, you're never leaving the house and after you're 30. It was just a mess. So don't watch those.
Eric has joked about our daughter that he hopes she's, you know, a book type and is shy and is a late bloomer.
You mean like Donna Reed in It's a Wonderful Life?
Yeah.
Yikes. I know. We all do.
She won't be, though. She'll be quite a charmer, I'm sure.
Yes.
Worries.
Just like apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. All right. We got a few more minutes. And yes, we made fun of the fact that we're not talking about Valentine's Day and we're not talking about the time traveler's wife. But our favorite news source here at Film Sociology, the AV Club of the Onion. That's the real news part, folks. This week's inventory is labeled The Ugliest Truth. 24 romantic comedy characters who don't deserve love. And I think we'll see. Well, we have three people in here, so it's an odd number. We'll see if we all agree with these. And I don't know if these are in any particular order, but here we go. Number one on their list, Renee Zellweger in Bridget Jones's Diary.
Haven't even seen that.
You really? Oh,
no interest.
Really?
No interest.
Well, that's okay. Let's see.
None.
I'm paraphrasing. As romantic comedies come to lean more and more on the twin beams of predictable formula, meaning obnoxious people meet each other, hate each other, then come to appreciate each other. I call those the psychotic romantic comedies. Case in point, Renee Zellweger is the title character, Bridget Jones's Diary, the story of a crude, frau-mouthed, dim-witted, judgmental, childishly pretty girl who...
Not pretty, petty.
Petty. Thank you. Who manages to win the love of multiple men, even though she pretty much lives to write horrible things about them in her diary. So there's that. Number two, Meg Ryan's Serious Moonlight, which Meg Ryan made this list three times. And this is one, the woman who directed Waitress was going to be her next project. And of course she was killed. And so Cheryl Hines took over and gee, it's a French Kiss reunion because it's Meg Ryan and Timothy Hutton. He's going to leave her for a younger woman. She bonks him on the head, duct tapes him to a toilet, and won't let him go until they reconcile. Yeah. Number three, Jada Pinkett in Woo. Never saw it. I'll take your word for it. Mm. Number four, Jesse Bradford, and I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell. Mm. I don't need Tucker Max thing. It's okay. Number five, Meg Ryan, Sleepless in Seattle.
Haven't seen it.
And you're not really missing much because this woman's going to change her life based on a radio call.
Nice.
I know. Number six, Jack Nicholson in As Good As It Gets. Why can't I just have a normal boyfriend, Helen Hunt asked near the end of As Good As It Gets? Let's see. Nicholson plays a romantic novelist who divides his time between washing his hands and figuring out the worst possible thing to say to anyone he comes in contact with. He's a jerk, and for some reason, that makes him a suitable love interest for the decades younger Helen Hunt. I didn't write it. Number 7, Nia Vardalos and I Hate Valentine's Day. This was a film that made my worst 10 last year. A woman who only has 5 dates with any man and then dumps him, even if it is John Corbett. He doesn't help much either. Number 8, Jennifer Garner in The Invention of Lying, the Ricky Gervais film. That's also on DVD. Number 9, Aaron Stanford for Tadpole. I actually saw this because he's a 15-year-old, as he's described in the article, foppish dandy who who got to seduce Bebe Neuwirth and then has feelings for his stepmother, played by Sigourney Weaver.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, I remember
not,
that coming
not pleasant.
Out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Number 10, Amy Adams in Leap Year, a film which I'm sad to say I actually did recommend. But it's a film about a woman who flies to Ireland to propose to her commitment-phobic fiancé on the leap year day, on the leap day. So you can only do it once every 4 years in Ireland. Number 11, Jenny McCarthy in Dirty Love.
I haven't seen any of them.
You're really okay for this. You're better. For a while, it was fun to watch Jenny McCarthy on mute, but I think that was back in the MTV days, not anymore. Aww. Number 12, Tom Hanks, You've Got Mail. There's no more likable character or actor in show business than Tom Hanks, a genial everyman who's not just the right choice, but possibly the only choice to play the Jimmy Stewart role in the modernization of 1940s Shop Around the Corner. Yeah. Number 13, Gerard Butler, P.S. I Love You. It's one where he's the ghost of Hilary Swank's dead husband. Number 14, Josh Hartnett, 40 Days and 40 Nights, where he's going to give up you-know-what for that long. Yeah. Number 15 and number 16, which Stacey, you told me you greeted wholeheartedly.
Wholeheartedly.
Zach Braff and Natalie Portman in Garden State.
Ugh. What?
which for many people say this was also the birth of the manic pixie dream girl. The
Ugh.
Natalie Portman character. So
not a fan of her in that movie. Not a fan at all.
Wow, you got the willies. Number 17, Sarah Jessica Parker in Failure to Launch. That's the one where she's hired to get Matthew McConaughey to move out of his parents' house.
Yeah.
And by the way, his parents, Kathy Bates and Terry Bradshaw. I would rather have watched a film about those two than
for real.
Yeah. Yeah.
Number 18, Drew Barrymore, Never Been Kissed.
I like that movie.
I like that movie too.
Oh, so
I
I'm
saw
that
in the theater.
Well, then I'm going to read
it.
I
was in college.
It's deeply unsettling to imagine the stories Never Been Kissed, Josie and Sam might someday tell their theoretical children about how they first met. Josie, a barely restrained psychopath who behaves like a mental patient, spends all her time alone stitching pillows and has lengthy conversations with turtles. Then she's assigned to go undercover at a local high school. While there, she and English teacher Sam strike up an obvious flirtation, even though he believes her to be 17 and she's actually 25 and is also flirting with a teenage boy. When Josie's deception is revealed, does Sam head for the hills? Of course not. The two get together, even though the entire pretense of their relationship is based on a potentially criminal lie.
Well, he does run away for a little while. Completely accurate.
But comes back anyway.
So,
yeah, after she lays her heart on the line in the middle of the baseball field. Oh, I like that movie. Yeah,
I'll give you a Roman Polanski movie, okay?
That's probably my favorite Drew Barrymore movie. Like,
that
if there's
is?
A movie that's focused on her. Yeah, I like that. You know, I like Riding in Cars with Boys, actually. I like that one better. But,
really?
Yeah, that's a good movie.
Number 19, Winona Ryder and Mr. Deeds. Nobody asked for that. Number 20 and number 21, Katherine Heigl and Gerard Butler in The Ugly Truth.
Puke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I didn't see it, and I still
if you had
puke.
A film, I'm sorry, but from a guy's standpoint, if you had a film with Katherine Heigl in vibrating underpants and it's still not fun, it's not fun. Number 22 and number 23, Kate Hudson and Matthew McConaughey in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
That movie was gross, too.
Possibly the worst of the psychotic romantic comedies, right up there with My Best Friend's Wedding. And I dedicate number 24 to my producer, Woody Allen in anything.
Ew. Thank you. I agree. He's yucky. He's gross. And I don't understand why people were even into him, why ladies loved him even back in the 70s. He was gross in the 70s. He's gross now. Like, what? I don't get it.
Talent's an aphrodisiac, apparently.
Not for me. Gotta be hot.
or Tom Green.
Yeah, well, he's hot and talented.
Well, Stacey, I got a feeling you're going to be coming back really soon.
Yeah, I hope so. How fun.
Stacey Sudeville, thank you so much for being a part of the show. On behalf of Melissa Davis and Stacey Sudeville, I'm Matthew Soucy. Happy birthday, Lynn. I love you. Go do something. It doesn't have to be romantic this weekend. Go do something for yourself or for somebody else. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI, HD2 The Point, and WFYI.org.
Silent dreams, people! Zardoz has spoken.